And the teaching today is entitled Jesus, a Pattern for the Christian. And Hebrews will start there. Now we consider many examples from the scriptures when we study the Word of God over the years. Sometimes we say, I want to be as meek as Moses, you know, or I'd like to be able to hear God's word or God's voice like Elijah and Elisha and all these men. And we've studied these people over the years, faithful like David or resolute as Jeremiah, or whatever the particular thing we're interested in. And Hebrews chapter 12, which comes right after the wonderful record of all those wonderful Hall of Fame of believers, in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, by faith, by faith, by faith. And verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that considered such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We consider him, and if you go through Hebrews chapter 11, all the various traits that the people in God's word exhibited, well, Jesus Christ has them all, right? He is the best example of all. So we're to consider him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we'll start there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh, sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, was Jesus carnally minded? Was he spiritually minded? Well, it's pretty easy. So he would be a good example for us to look at to see what it means to be spiritually minded. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit of God, no question. He's the best example that we have of somebody led by the Spirit of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So image here is to like or to resemble someone, just like the likeness of Caesar on the coin was the image of Caesar, right? It wasn't Caesar, but it was the image of Caesar. That's the same word. Christ, the image of God. He wasn't God, but he represented God. It's not the item itself. So Jesus Christ is the pattern. Verse 29 in Weymouth reads like this: "For those whom he has known beforehand, he also predestined to bear the likeness of his son, that he might be the eldest in a vast family of brothers." He's the firstborn, we're the restborn, whatever that's not a word, but you understand what I'm saying, right? 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So as the pattern for the Christian, and I know Jesus was not a Christian, but he certainly made it available for everybody else to be. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, or payment for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Whose commandments? Jesus Christ. "He that saith, I know him not, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Right? Jesus Christ is the pattern for the Christian. Now, we may not have thought about that before, because we see it's the Gospels, but Christians weren't around then. Christians didn't show up till Pentecost. But who is the best example that represents that walk as Christ? It will be Christ, right? That's where to walk, even as he walked. Now, I want to go to, let's see where am I going here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul understood this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because you may not have thought before, well, you know, if I'm going to live my life, maybe Jesus Christ is a good example. But it's funny if we haven't thought that, but I mean, because we've thought about Noah, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, old covenant believers, right? But maybe not Christ. Well, he's the best example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers," the word is, as you know, is imitators. "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul said he was an imitator of Jesus Christ. Now, we have to be really careful here and think this is not trying to still see him after the flesh. That would be, that whole understanding, we've covered that quite a few times now in fellowship, is to understand when we say that we don't understand him after flesh, that is that we do not diminish his current authority, because he is not the Jesus of the gospel walking around anymore. He's seated at God's right hand, mediator between God and man, and Lord in Christ, far above all principalities and powers, all those things we've covered. That is not to bring him down that way, but it's to understand that when it's his walk, not his current position, if you follow what I'm saying there. So when Paul says, "I'm an imitator of Christ," what was he saying? Right? What was he imitating? Right? His walk. It wasn't his current position. Like, Paul wasn't trying to be the mediator between God and man. He wasn't trying to be the way, the truth, and the life. Right? It's his walk. And his walk, where can we read about his walk? The Gospels. Right? Isn't that where we read about his walk? And that's quite interesting. Paul didn't have the Gospels. Right? We do. So we have even more information. Well, so how did Paul understand? Again, just to cover that, it's not to bring him down, because the Bible says we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, and we are as he is, not as he was. So we understand the authority is far greater, but to look at his walk, to understand how he walked, right? That's what I mean by pattern for the Christian. In Galatians chapter 1, I was trying to understand, how did Paul know what to imitate? Well, Galatians chapter 1 might give us a clue. Galatians, I'm trying to get there. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, because I didn't go see anybody. He went off on his own. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles. So he didn't even go to Jerusalem, even though those men were apostles before him. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, he spent 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw it none, save James, the Lord's brother. So he saw Peter 15 days and James. What might they have talked about? You know, who did Peter spend a lot of his time with? Jesus Christ. So maybe Paul got some indication from that. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to see he spent time with Peter and James. You know, look at Acts 26. Now, Acts 26, when Paul is recounting his witnessing experience, not that he witnessed, but they get witnessed too. Acts 26, 14. Before Agrippa. Verse 4, and we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things, to these things which thou hast seen, of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So he did give him more information, understanding. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When Jesus Christ asked Paul to do this, he was asking him to do what he himself had been doing. Right? Did Jesus Christ open their eyes? Did he turn them from darkness to light? Power of Satan unto God. Did he give them forgiveness? Did he teach them all? Yeah. Now, the great thing here, he actually opens this even now, the Gentiles. Right? You see, so he's basically getting Paul to do, well, Paul's, I imitated Christ. Well, Christ did those things, and so did Paul. That's pretty neat. In Acts 20. So imitating the attitude and his walk with God and the preaching of the truth, not bringing him down to the level of the Gospels anymore. In Acts 20, verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities to them that were with me. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, where did he hear that? Where did Paul hear that? You see, here he is. He's imitating Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ taught. Right? First John said we should walk like he walked. Remember his commandments. Remember what he taught. A lot of times we'll read the gospel. Oh, that's for Israel. Yeah. Okay. Understood. Jesus Christ was a minister to Israel, but so much of what the gospels teach is parallel in the church epistles. He's the great example for the Christian believer. Right? Not to the extent that now we're trying to win redemption for mankind. I don't mean that. But I mean how he walked, what he did. You know, preach God's word, made deliverance available, these things, and he is the great example of that for us. In Galatians 2:20, we don't have to go there, because Christ lives within me, right? Living within me is Christ. Now he's within us, right there. In John chapter 14 is an interesting statement, which we've read before. John 14. Verse 23, Now, when Jesus Christ was teaching them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, chapter 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him, unto him, and make our abode with him. That's why it's called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, right? Because God and Christ in us. He that loveth me keepeth not my sayings, and the word, sorry, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So here's Jesus Christ that taught things, and then one of the things the Holy Spirit is supposed to do is bring into remembrance the things that he taught. Right? He's a great example. Like, so therefore, a lot of what he was teaching when he was on the earth is applicable to the Christian walk. That's why he's the best example that we have. Right? Even Paul knew that. That's why I imitate Christ. Imitate me like I imitate Christ. Right? Not to gain redemption, but to walk by the Spirit, the trust in God, the preaching of the gospel, deliverance, and so forth that Jesus Christ brought. Right? In John 14, we're here. Well, that was fast. Back a page for me. John 14, 12. What can we imitate? What are some examples for us? Paul's a great example, obviously, but, you know. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And where can we read about the works that he did? In the Gospels. Isn't that where they're written? Right? The works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, Jesus showed us how to do it, and we've, you know, covered this now in good detail over the last several fellowships. You know, we went and looked at all his healing. You looked at the records, what he did. And we didn't go to that record. I wanted to go to, but I'll just mention it to you. When Paul was in Malta, when he went there, the chief of the island, what did Paul do? He put his hands on him and healed him. Right? And then all the other people who came from the island, many who came, they were all healed. This is decades after Jesus Christ had been resurrected. Right? So here's Paul, still decades after, imitating Christ and the things that he did. But now with the recognition that Christ is within us, right? He's within us, so we have access. So it's not bringing him down to the level of the Gospels, it's understanding he's within us, but doing the works that he did. Because he's a great example of that. Paul was a great example. And we looked at all the records. How did he do it? See, it's not just mimicking the actions, right? It's not just, you know, laying hands on somebody. It's understanding the authority, because Christ walked in authority. We walk in authority. It's understanding we have Christ in us. We have the authority to do what he did, to walk like he walked. You know, if we're going to say that, and remember the changes he made. The changes he made from the Gospels to the church epistles was what? Now that we're going to do it in his name. That was a change. And that now he would back up that word because God had given him all authority in heaven and earth. Those were the changes. But other than that, sometimes people say, well, you know, that might be just for Israel. Well, if that is just for Israel, then how about when we look at Elijah and Elisha and David and Samuel and try to understand things from them. You know, sometimes we have to understand that some things don't change. As far as revelation goes, God has always given information to his people. As far as healing goes, God has always healed his people. Right? That's not an administration thing. That's just God's nature. That's what he does. He's just made it a lot easier and a lot more accessible now to us today. But it hasn't changed. How it happens hasn't changed. Right. I mean, we looked at Old Testament believers to see how they receive revelation. Right. Well, that's just for Israel. No, it's not. Right. It's God doesn't change. There are things about God that aren't going to change. He gives information. He heals people. Right. And he's shown us how to do it. I mean, Jesus Christ was here. He showed us how to do it. Well, pretty simple. Well, I did. Here, Acts 28. I do want to go to it now. Let's read it. Acts 28. I thought I had skipped this, but I didn't. Well, we're here. I mentioned it, but that's fun to read. Acts 28. Verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever, of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed. Right? Pretty cool. And the same thing happened with Peter and John in Acts 3, and Acts 8 with Philip and all these men who did what Jesus Christ did. Because he told them, the works that I do, are you going to do also? Those are the works. They're things you do. Right? Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God right now. We know that. And we're seated with him spiritually, but physically we are here. We're still living this life until the Lord comes back. We receive a glorious body like unto his blood body. And until then, we're walking on this earth here with Christ in us. And Jesus Christ is the best example. He's, man 2.0, right? And then we're the images of that after that. But he showed us how to do it. And we ought to take a look at how he did it and understand the principles on what he did. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's a part of his life that maybe we don't want to do emulate. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Now Jesus Christ told them, they hated me without a cause. Here's Paul doing the same things Jesus Christ did. He's their pattern. They hated him. Guess what? The world hated them. Right? They were despised. Verse 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked. What did Jesus Christ say? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Here they are. We're here. And naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. What did Jesus Christ do? When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. Here they are. They were reviled. They didn't revile. Right? When they were reviled, they blessed. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said to do? Didn't he say, pray for your enemies, them who despitefully use you? Right? Here they are. They're doing exactly what Jesus Christ told them to do. Right? Verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye imitators, followers of me. He just said this after he read this horrible things they have to go through for the sake of the gospel. He says, be imitators of me. Right? Very interesting, isn't it? And he leads them back to Christ. I imitated Christ, imitate me. And look what I just went through. Well, sometimes you got to go through this. And recognizing Jesus Christ went through it, recognize that we may have to go through this for the sake of the gospel. And who's our best example? Jesus Christ. And he said on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like, could I do that? You see, he's the best example for us as a Christian, for the Christian walk. And you'll see that as you look at all the exhortations in the church epistles. And I went through them all. I'll just go through and see all the exhortations that are there for the believer. And so many of them parallel exactly the walk of Jesus Christ. Right? Verse 16, so where was it? Be followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. He goes, Timothy is going to remind you of the way I walked. And this is what I teach everywhere. These are the ways that I live in Christ. Those are the ways that we're to live in Christ. Isn't he a great example? Isn't it an example to see how he handled situations by trusting God? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter. Remember, this is not to bring them down and to not know him after the flesh. We've looked at that in detail. That is to understand his great authority that he now has, so we don't see him as that of the Gospels. But the walk that we're walking here today, we got to make this walk. We got to go through this life. We got to deal with this thing. He is the best example for that walk. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Why, die for mankind? No, that's not what he's talking about. Follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was, so we're not to have sin. Now the great thing for us now is that we have been freed from the dominion of sin by having Christ in us. So it's easier for us now than it was before. No guile found his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not himself, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Here, who is the best example of walking in love? Jesus Christ, isn't he? Walk in love as he walked in love. So where do we see where he walked in love? The Gospels. That's where we read about it. That's how he walked in love. That's what we do. We walk that way. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Again, where do we see that? Right. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Check the various references. This is referring to which was in Christ Jesus. The thinking that was in Christ Jesus. That's the way we're supposed to think. What was that way? Thinking of others better than ourselves. For looking not every man his own thing, things of others. Verse 6. Jesus, who was in the form, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, wouldn't even consider that thing, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a great example for us, right, that he did that. In Colossians, we'll close in Colossians chapter 3. Like I said, you can read various sections of the epistles, and you see the why is he such a good example of that walk? Because Jesus Christ didn't take on him the nature of Adam, right? He didn't do that, right? And that's very precisely the entire redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and tied up understanding that he couldn't have been of the nature of Adam, could he? Right? Because that was how he conquered death. So then when you see the new man, when we're exhorted in all the practical sections of the epistles, which we're going to read one quick section here, all those things you see, you know, Those were the characteristics Jesus Christ had. He didn't have the bad ones. He only had the good ones, right? Those that now we receive by being made in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Access to those things by having the mind of Christ. In chapter 3, verse 8, but now you put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Did Jesus Christ exhibit any of that stuff? Was that a part of his life? No, he didn't take on the nature of Adam. He's our great example. Lie not one. Did Jesus Christ lie? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Do these characteristics sound like the characteristics of Jesus Christ? Yeah, without question, right? Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love. Jesus Christ walked in love. He was the greatest example of love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Be ye thankful. So Jesus Christ is a great example for the Christian walk. Paul, who basically received the revelation for the entire administration, pretty much, exhorted believers to imitate his walk like he did that of Christ. We are told to walk even as he walked, to follow his steps. This is not still trying to know him after the flesh, for that thinking fails to understand the exaltation of Jesus Christ, as we have noted many times. We know that he is no longer the Jesus of the Gospels. The pattern that we are interested in involves such things as to walk in the same faith in God that he had, to walk in humility, at the same time supreme confidence in God, to love, forgive, and serve like he did, to live selflessly like he did, to endure hardship and discomfort for the sake of the gospel if necessary, to tirelessly preach the gospel, to bring deliverance to those in need. We have been given the power and authority to do this. It's up to us to actually do it.